This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
All hands together, hands together.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Valensky.
And Jennifer Renee.
Brian Levinka.
And Glenn Holt.
And Summer Iman.
Yeah, thanks, Summer.
So, tonight, we have coming up, a discussion on the GLBT community and the upcoming Houston City election runoff, which features, by the way, many GLBT candidates. And our guest commentator is going to be Ray Hill. And then after that, at 9:30, News Wrap, a referendum in the state of Maine has denied marriage equality to same-gender couples, but Washington's electorate supported their Referendum 71 to maintain that state's domestic partners law. Several openly gay and lesbian candidates won elections locally, including a first-ever city council seat in Detroit, St. Petersburg, Akron, and Salt Lake City. At 9:40 this evening, the Illuminations Project. It's a music and dance showcase of Houston talent, and it's being presented in association with the Gulf Coast Archive Museum. All net proceeds will go to the Montrose Counseling Center and the museum. Executive producer, director Falcon Fleur will join us to talk about the project. And then in our second hour, the crew of Olympus is celebrating its 40th anniversary with an event on November 22nd at JR's. There will be food, a cash bar, and beads for everyone. Dwayne Toddle will be here from the crew to tell us more. We have a mystery guest at 10:22. The National March for Equality on Washington last month has spawned a local group dedicated to equality. And Brian is going to tell us more about that later on and tell us, also interview the special guest. And then at 10:40, a look at election results from across the country as they affect the lesbi, gay, transgender community. There were some wins and some big losses, and This Way Out has a wrap-up of those results.
So, yes, it's elections, elections, elections.
That's right. It's the all-elections show.
Can I put something in? Since we're being preempted next week, and we won't be here, I want to make sure that everyone knows about the Transgender Day of Remembrance. It is on Saturday, November 21st. It doors open at 6:30. It's from 6:30 to 10, and it's at the Houston Holocaust Museum at 5401 Caroline. And you can go to the website, Transgender Foundation of America has more information on it there. But if you just Google it, it'll come up.
Tell me a little bit about the event. Like, how was it in years past? What goes on?
In years past, well, first of all, the Transgender Day of Remembrance has a day set aside to remember those of the transgender community who have been murdered in our nation and around the world because of them being transgender. It's began approximately 10 years ago in memory of a mother who was brutally murdered, and she wanted to commemorate it 10 years ago. And in doing so, it caught on worldwide, nationwide, and it turns up in November because it coincided with the Nazis in 1939 storming the Institute of Studies, Gender Studies, there in Berlin, taking the names and then rounding up the trans people. And we were one of our community, the trans community, were one of the first ones that were taken away. They gave us the pink triangle. And if you'll notice on a lot of trans information and trans organizations, they'll have the pink triangle in honor of those in our community we lost to the Nazis. And again, the Holocaust Museum graciously offers their location for this because of the connection between us and the original Holocaust.
Okay. Well, we've got lots of election wrap-up to talk about and other things coming up. We also want to remind you that, I almost forgot myself, that we are raising funds tonight. We're asking you to call us. Call us tonight. We really have a full show to do. So if you could make that call now at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. We're going to take a quick little musical.
No, before you stop doing this, why are you cutting me out of this part of the show?
This ain't your show.
I know, but it's fundraising time, and it is, to a degree, my radio station. I was just talking to the folks out there who are doing the good work of writing down the pledges, and they said, you know, we're not getting a lot of support from Galveston, and I just happen to know that there are a lot of listeners of this program down at 90 or 89.5.
Is that
Galveston.
Back on? I thought it went away with the hurricane.
No, it's back up, okay. And it's running, and it's not as good. But down in Galveston, you're listening to the radio station, especially this show. You're waiting to hear us promote your upcoming Pride Week festivities, because mm-hmm. yours happened this time of the year rather than that other time of the year. And a lot of you know what's going on down there vis-a-vis the bars. And it hadn't been too long ago since we were talking about that story in Fort Worth where a guy got permanently injured for the rest of his life because of a stupid cop, and who obviously is getting away with it. And so the civil suit hadn't been figured out yet, but the criminal suits and the disciplinary thing is pretty much covered. And you're going to need us, because we're the only weekly media that is available to you. And so, Galveston, the number is 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. Tell those pledge-taking volunteers out there that you're from Galveston and you're a responsible citizen listening to KPFT. Oh, Texas City would do all right if you want to, or Dickinson or somewhere down there. 713-526-5738 is the magic number. Please call.
We're going to take a little musical break, and we'll be back with Ray Hill.
I don't wanna ride this roller coaster. Think I wanna get off, but they buckled me down against the end of the world. If you don't wanna have this conversation, then you better get out, 'cause we're climbing to our death. At least that's what they want you to think. Just in case we jump the track, scream out quite so loudly when we screech to a halt. I'm just never prepared. End of the ride. Maybe we should get on something simpler, like a giant balloon. I've got two tickets left. Aching romance. If it's gonna end
is Queer Voices.
You know, it seems like a long time has passed since the election, but it was only last week.
Last Tuesday. Not even a week.
It seems like forever ago.
And in the studio tonight, we have community icon Ray Hill joining me, Brian Levinka.
And Jennifer Renee.
Welcome, Ray.
What?
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, and I want you folks to keep on calling that phone. I appreciate those calls that came in whenever I walked out.
I heard studio. You got somebody right. fired
you're,
up.
You're
that's
the voice
sure.
of like gay God that's saying, "Please call."
Actually, we get kind of fat and sassy up here because what happened in Fort Worth couldn't happen in Houston.
We have the power of the Ray Hill,
right? But it could happen in Galveston.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it could.
It could happen
very
in Galveston.
So.
And probably happens three times a week in League City.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, that'd be a shame. Yeah, it is a shame. Too many places like that around the city, but we feel comfortable down here in our own hometown.
Too. I do.
Well, Ray, what's the deal?
Well, number one, I want to point out that we had a very low voter turnout. The overall city was a little less than 18%, almost 17.5% or so. And what I found interesting is that the drop-off from the mayor's race to the other districts was not as significant as it frequently is.
Mm-hmm.
People go in and vote for their mayoral candidate, and they walk out because the rest of the names look like a maze to them. Mm-hmm. And one of the problems is that the district race is immediately below the mayor's race, and then the at-large races, and then the controller's race, and then at the very bottom, the school board races. Remaining candidates, we have, I've got a list over there somewhere. Here it is, right here.
You got it right there.
Okay. We've got 7 city races remaining and 2 races for HISD school board. Now, those are relatively small district. In the school board race, Alma Lara has already received the endorsement of the caucus, and she's in a runoff, and Adrian Collins is in that.
And Adrian got the caucus's endorsement.
Yeah.
Yes.
So those are 2 endorsed candidates that are in a runoff, and it's important to vote in those races. But we'll start from the top with the city races. Anise Parker is our significant candidate. A lot of energy is still going into Anise's race, and a lot of money is being raised. She said she'd need about $1 million for this runoff, and I don't think she's going to have much trouble getting that, but if you've got some extra change in your pocket, think about that. And her opponent is Jean Locke. Now, here's the stupus. Anise carried everything in this city west of Main Street. It was a total wipeout. She was leading in those. Peter Brown got close in a couple of districts, but Anise took them.
I can't believe she took West. I didn't know that she took West Houston.
She took everything west of Main Street.
What does that say?
Basically what it says is that those are relatively high voting precincts. Even in a low voter turnout, they're proportionally larger than everybody else. And she got all of that. She didn't, you know, some of those like District A, she had 7,500. Well, Locke and Brown combined had about the same number of votes.
Well, we have a lot of gays in District A, I think.
Right. And in District C, she had 10,500 votes, and Locke and Brown combined did not make that many votes. So that's where we are. And these are basic in D, which is the Montrose
area,
or
right?
Half of the Montrose, the eastern half of the Montrose, and we've always been gerrymandered in with Third Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Parker beat Brown handily, came in second to Locke. But the difference between Locke and Parker is less than 5,000 votes.
Hmm. Interesting.
And so I would say that we're the catbird seat. Let me do this. Only people know what districts they live in because nobody else knows where the districts are.
Right.
But she finished first in A, C, G, and H.
Okay. She came in second in D, E, F, and I. She came in third in B, which is her only poor showing. And I've already said that there's, you know, 6,000 votes there.
Mm-hmm. Where's District B?
District B is Sunnyside.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, the interesting thing about District B is that I checked it for the vote totals for Eugene Locke and for Bradford and for Ron Green.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what'd you find?
I found that Bradford outpolled the mayor's race.
Really?
More people voted in at-large...
District 4.
At-large 4 mm-hmm. than voted in the mayor's race. So the turnout machine was apparently C.O. Bradford.
Right.
But that carried over to the mayor's race, too.
Of course it carries over to the mayor's race. But the turnout, if Bradford gets more votes than Locke, then
that's driving the turnout.
Bradford's driving. And Bradford's elected. Talked to him today. He's not going to be back campaigning. And there ain't nothing going on in the district race over there, either.
Interesting.
So all you've got is the mayor's race and the controller's race.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting about the controller's race is the strength behind Ron was citywide. Mm-hmm. Ron had good strength all over the city, black precincts.
Right.
But West Houston did very well for Ron, except for down where Conn was a district council.
I'm still shocked that Pam Holm didn't make the runoff. I'm so shocked.
Spent an awful lot of money, and that's the Brown story. Yeah. All right, now you folks get your pencils out because these are the endorsed candidates. You understand that radio station KPFT is a 501c3 entity, and we don't endorse, but we are announcing the endorsements of Houston Gay, Lesbian, Transgendered Political Caucus. And they are for Mayor Parker and East Parker. City Councilman District A is Lane Lewis. City Councilman District F is Mike Laster. Now, you won't have both of those on your ballot. If you live in the right districts, A and F, you will have one of those, but not both of them.
Right.
At large, position one is Karen Durr, D-E-R-R. She's new. She just got the endorsement last Wednesday. At large, position two is Sue Lovell. At large, position five is Jolanda Joe Jones. And city controller is Ron Green. Those are the city elections. And again, at the bottom of the ballot, HISD School Board District 1, Alma Lara, and HISD School Board District 9, Adrian Collins. We can do this. To the gay community, gay, lesbian, transgendered communities, we have more to lose and more to gain in this election than any other group.
Oh, absolutely.
And no question about that.
Is this like the first time in Houston's history that we could...
We have four of our own, but I would say that Jolanda Jones is as much of this community.
Ally.
Especially when you are in my position, you fight cops.
Yeah.
So we've got four of our own, and we've got Jolanda, and Ron has stood up for issues important to me. And Karen fought hard for this endorsement. And didn't get it first way around and was right back to the bar to get it when the candidate that we endorsed in the general election didn't make it. So there are seven of us in this race, and you need to go and be prepared to vote from the top to the bottom for the endorsed candidates. Now, the caucus is suffering a little virus. You know, there's a lot of viruses going around.
There are.
There's a lot of viruses going around. There's N1, H1, and I had my standard flu shot. I was in prison when they developed. I was one of the guinea pigs that developed flu vaccines.
Thank you.
While I was in prison.
I want to thank you.
Thank you for many things, Ray, but that, too.
And I was down in prison, didn't have any choice. They said, $25 and you get sick. I said, you're crazy. But they didn't move me, but everybody else got the $25, and I got sick, too. So the next year when they came back to do some more, I said, give me my $25, by the way. Because
right.
There wasn't any escaping getting sick. But that was a pretty good experiment. It worked pretty well for most of us.
The caucus, there's a virus.
The virus in the caucus is unfortunately a clash of political egos. And there's a character, a candidate that we've endorsed, and we're endorsing again this time, and we've probably come close to endorsing, but not without a floor fight from me in the future, who thinks it's all about that candidate. It's not. We have a democratic process. We get together and we argue, and we seriously argue.
It's a cool process, and I was on the other side.
It's a cool process, and let me tell you, when the new candidate got endorsed the other night, there wasn't a parliamentary procedure that I knew of that wasn't tried.
I was getting confused. I'm like, okay, who's raising their hand?
Don't do that, because Brian, we're procedure wonks.
Yes.
And you know that we got another procedure wonk. Our candidate for mayor is a policy wonk and a procedure. She not only wants to do the right thing, but she has to do it the right way.
Absolutely.
Every time. You have no idea when I said, oh, well, close enough. And she'll say, I beg your pardon. Look at me, because I've been her mentor for years. And whenever I'm not as pure as she is, she thinks there's something wrong.
Uh-huh.
And but it's a strange position for me. I'm getting resumes from old retired vice chiefs trying to find a job in the new administration. Isn't that interesting?
You know, Ray, you said something in the caucus meeting that really, really rang true to me, and I wanted to share it with our audience. You said that the caucus endorses and that our people have to vote the slate
right. From
top to bottom.
Right.
And I have to admit, in the general election, I didn't follow the slate completely. Mm-hmm. But you know what you said to me? You said, you know, we think well independently, but we think better together as a group.
Well, more of us are smarter than one of us,
exactly.
Anyway. And a few of us are smarter than a few of us. And we've been getting good attendance, so our decision should be pretty good. We can make a mistake.
But, you know, that's...
But let me tell you something, Brian. The strength of the people that this radio program has been talking to, lo, it's many years, and I know for a fact, under the name of Wildenstein, later Queer Voices, this has been going on since 1975, because that's when I started doing this show.
I was 1 year old.
75, we started doing this
show. Don't rub it in.
I'm sorry.
And to those people, our strength politically is not going to be estimated in the mayor's race. It's going to be estimated in the race of the candidate that receives the fewest number of votes
right. From
our endorsement card.
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so if you want to be a strong community, and let me tell you something, there's something I wrote today in an editorial, because Outsmart's going to print it this coming year.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, this time, Anise hadn't belonged to this community in a long time. She built a broader constituency, was elected at large to city council. She served there for six very good years, and she served well, and then she served for 6 years as controller. We're not doing this mayor's race for ourselves. We're doing this mayor's race for our city.
Amen.
And for our community and nationwide.
And for our city, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Houston deserves a good, level-headed, responsible mayor that is not off on some kind of tangents about building things we cannot afford in the current economy. Mm-hmm. I mean, the emails I get today is, you better tell Anise you better back a new stadium. Well, I don't care who you elected. City ain't building a stadium until the money is available.
Exactly.
Well, every stadium we built, we were promised that it wasn't going to cost our tax dollars, and every time
it does.
We've done.
It
that's
does.
It's happened.
Well, we don't have them right now. Now, if you want a stadium to play soccer, or if you want a museum for this cause or that cause, let me tell you how to do that. You do business, promote business, and get jobs,
yes,
and expand the tax base.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you'll get a stadium and a museum. You can have all kinds of goodies when we can afford it. But we're not going to have any stadiums at the expense of police protection.
Exactly.
We're not going to have any
city services. We can't afford that.
We're not going to have any stadiums at the expense of water and sewer. And, oh, by the way, Anybody had any high water in their neighborhood lately?
Exactly.
That's going to take money to resolve. And so I know what Anissa's priorities are, and they're good ones. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Well, how much time do we have?
We have another 5 minutes.
Well, okay. There's been this big effort in the past couple of days by a couple of organizations in our community that have been trying to get people out to register to vote.
Right.
The deadline is Thursday for the runoff.
Absolutely.
If you are not registered to vote, we need your vote. We've been killing ourselves out at the bars.
Well, Brian, how do you do that?
Well, we had people tonight at different places, and you can also go online, I think, harrisvotes.org.
You can go online, Harris County Votes.
Yes, harrisvotes.org.
Harris County Votes, and you can sign up online and answer the few questions, or you can go by the courthouse. If you work downtown, it's easy to pop into the courthouse, or if you work out in the burbs, there are annex courthouses all over town. Up on North Shepherd, my good friend... we call him the Live Judge. Dale Gorjinski is up there. Just walk into that courtroom. Right. The county clerk's right there. Pick up a voter registration card. Drop it off. She'll see to it that it gets to the tax assessor collector. After you've sent in your card. If you don't get your voter registration card right back, don't worry about it. Go to an early voting location with identification, and they'll find you on the books. I think it's interesting. Tom, a friend of mine, we go vote together the first day of early voting, and we went voted together. And he said, "I don't have my voter registration card." And I said, "Yeah, but you got some ID." And so she showed some ID, and sure enough, they gave him a booth to go vote in. And that day, his voter registration card appeared.
I want to say something. One of the endorsed people, which I have sort of a special feeling for, and that's Adrian Collins in his race for HISD school board. And the reason is that I have been working diligently to try to lobby HISD to expand their non-discrimination to include sexual orientation and gender identity. The person who has been standing in the way of that, the individual, is Lawrence Marshall.
Don't say the opponent's names. And the reason you don't is you don't want to embed it. Yeah. From now on, sister, remember. You forget the name of your opponent. You only name your candidate.
Well, I have been announcing his name each week, and it has now been 21 straight weeks that that gentleman, Mr. Marshall, has not returned my phone call.
Adrian Collins is who to vote for, and that's all you need to know.
Yeah, it's always.
Well, but I've done that. I've been right. It'll be nice if somebody returns your phone call.
There's a reason to endorse these candidates in every race.
Yes. Yes. Well, is there anything else we need to cover?
No, I appreciate being in. I thank you folks at Queer Voices do important things. I see Jack's up and standing on his feet, ready for me to get my fat ass out of here so he can
so we can get back in his chair.
Down. Right. And listen, thank you very much. And folks, what we do here is unique. This is the only radio station that's doing it for you, and it's the only radio. Are you sure the other folks have got music, but they ain't got the kind of music JD's got.
Right.
And other people's got voices, but they ain't kind of voices you got on Queer Voices.
That's right.
713-526-4000. Do it for Uncle Ray, please.
Thank you very much. That's Ray Hill, and this is Queer Voices.
Thank you.
And speaking of unique, I should also mention that there's a benefit coming up. It's a benefit for KPFT, actually, for two organizations, KPFT and for the food pantry. And what they're looking for is donations and canned food. This event is going to be at Tony's Corner Pocket on West Dallas, featuring live singers and female illusionists. I'm making air quotes with my fingers. They used to call those drag queens, didn't they? Female illusionists. Hosted by the crew of After Hours, Jimmy and Chris. And if you've seen the poster, it's real cute. It's got Jimmy and Chris doing naked radio, just kind of like the old days. And anyway, stay tuned for more details about that, because that event is coming up, and it's going to be a fundraiser for KPFT and for the food pantry.
If you plan to call today or later this week to renew your membership, please consider increasing your contribution. As you've probably heard in the news, Congress has often considered slashing budgets for public interest services. As a result, federal funding for public radio may be reduced. That funding may even be eliminated. Though only a small percentage of KPFT's budget comes from federal funding, this funding crisis means that your contribution is more important now than ever. Please consider increasing your contribution if you can. Every dollar you contribute will make a big difference in the music and news you've come to appreciate from KPFT. Call 713-526-5738 to make your tax-deductible contribution or pledge online at kpft.org. Again, that number is 713-526-KPFT. Pledge now. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio. KPFT, Houston.
This is Queer Voices.
I'm Sherry Lund.
And I'm Taryn James.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending November 7th, 2009. LGBT people won 2 out of 3 rights-challenging ballot measures in U.S. elections on November 3rd. But the biggest prize, marriage equality, was lost in the state of Maine. By a vote of 53-47%, Question 1, a so-called people's veto, overturned the same-gender marriage law passed by the legislature and signed by the governor in May. It had not taken effect pending the outcome of the vote. It was the 31st time that a marriage equality measure has lost at the ballot box in a U.S. state. A same-gender marriage proposal has never won. The Yes on One campaign repeatedly claimed that legalizing same-gender marriage would change what children were taught in Maine schools, even though state education officials insisted that there would be no such requirement. Almost identical ads ran last year during the successful Proposition 8 campaign produced by the same public relations firm to repeal marriage equality in California. No on One's TV ad stuck to a theme of equality for all Maine families. Hundreds of Mainers marched in the city of Portland on November 6th, carrying signs and blocking traffic to protest the election outcome. Peaceful demonstrations were also held during the week in Washington, D.C., New York, Los Angeles, and other U.S. cities.
According to a report from the National Institute for Money in State Politics, marriage equality advocates raised money for the Maine campaign from more than 10,000 donors, 12 times more than their opponents reported. Support for Question 1 came almost entirely from churches and right-wing conservative organizations. Its backers raised nearly $3.4 million. More than 1 in 3 Mainers identify as Roman Catholic, and led by its Portland diocese, the church and its members alone kicked in more than $550,000. Opponents raised almost $5.7 million. A No on One official said that some 8,000 people volunteered during the campaign. Unlike California, where voters amended the state constitution to overturn its Supreme Court marriage equality ruling, Maine voters struck down a lawmaker-approved measure. A new same-gender marriage bill is expected to be introduced in the Maine legislature, passed and signed into law by the governor, starting the process all over again. In fact, Maine's LGBT anti-discrimination law went that very route. It was passed twice, only to be repealed by voters. They finally upheld it after it had been passed a third time. Same-gender marriage is currently legal in Connecticut, Iowa, Massachusetts, and Vermont, and becomes legal in New Hampshire in January. Lawmakers in New York, New Jersey, and Washington, D.C. are or will soon be considering marriage equality laws. It remains to be seen what effect, if any, the verdict of Maine's electorate will have on those measures.
But voters upheld a domestic partners law in the state of Washington on November 3rd by a vote of 52-48%. The legislature expanded the original law earlier this year to give same-gender domestic partners virtually all the remaining state rights of marriage, except the name. But opponents successfully mounted a petition drive to repeal the expanded rights, which appeared on the state ballot as Referendum 71. During the campaign, they argued that it was a stepping stone to same-gender marriage, which has been outlawed in Washington. But lesbi gay rights activists called marriage equality a debate for another day, saying that same-gender couples needed additional legal protections and rights in the meantime. The law was to go into effect on July 26th, but was delayed because of the referendum campaign. According to the Washington Secretary of State's office, it will now take effect on December 3rd. LGBT advocates and their supporters celebrated the victory as the first statewide voter approval of a lesbi gay rights measure. California, Oregon, New Jersey, and the District of Columbia also have laws that grant same-gender civil union or domestic partnership rights close to or equivalent to marriage, but refuse to call it marriage.
And voters in Kalamazoo, Michigan, by a wide margin, upheld Ordinance 1856, a measure passed by the City Commission in June to ban discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity in housing, employment, and public accommodations. Opponents called the measure special rights on sexual behavior and cross-dressing, and focused their campaign on fears of cross-dressing men using women's bathrooms. The Kalamazoo Gazette reported that the issue drew the most votes for a city election since tracking began in 1993. Kalamazoo becomes the 16th city in Michigan to similarly protect its LGBT citizens.
In another statewide election of importance to gays and lesbians, Democrat John Corzine, a supporter of marriage equality, lost his bid for re-election as governor of New Jersey to Republican Chris Christie, who supports a state constitutional amendment to define marriage as heterosexual only. LGBT activists are now in a race to get the Democrat-controlled New Jersey legislature to pass a same-gender marriage bill during its lame duck session that ends in January. If it doesn't pass by then, Governor-elect Christie has already vowed to veto a subsequent bill.
Several lesbian and gay candidates won election on November 3rd. They included Charles Pugh in Detroit, Michigan, Steve Cornell in St. Petersburg, Florida, Sandra Kurt in Akron, Ohio, and Stan Penfold in Salt Lake City, Utah. Each became the first out member of their respective city councils. Openly gay Mark Kleinschmidt is the new mayor of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and openly lesbian Anise Parker will be in a runoff election to become the next mayor of Houston, Texas, and Simone Bell will become the country's first openly lesbian African-American state legislator if she wins her runoff election for the Georgia State House of Representatives.
Briefly, in other news from around the world, sources close to Portuguese Prime Minister José Sócrates, who is forming a new government following September elections, have said that legalizing same-gender marriage will be one of its first actions. His socialist party captured 97 of Parliament's 230 seats. According to PortugalGay.pt, with 31 additional votes from members of the Left Bloc and the Communist Party, both of which support marriage equality, the bill should pass easily. Portugal has had a de facto unions law for opposite and same-gender couples since 2001 that grants limited rights to couples who have lived together for at least 2 years.
Lesbians in same-gender relationships who are not the biological parents of their children have been granted legal recognition by the Legislative Council in the Australian island state of Tasmania. Both moms can now be listed on the child's birth certificate. The vote was unanimous, and the council made the decision retroactive to 2003. Up until now, lesbian couples had to use expensive adoption procedures to have the non-biological mother legally recognized as the co-parent. Another law, passed in September, allows same-gender couples to hold official ceremonies, joined by friends and family and conducted by a marriage celebrant, for their deed of relationships, which is the Tasmanian form of civil unions. That change took effect on November 1st.
The president of Malta, Giorgia Bela, met with the executive board and staff members of the European region of the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, and Intersex Association, known by the acronym ILGA Europe, as the group opened its 13th annual conference in the island nation in early November. During the meeting at the presidential palace, Abela said that information and education are important in tackling discrimination and fostering acceptance of differences. He also said that love is the most important thing there is, and that it can't be graded based on sexual orientation. It was the first time a head of state has met with ILGA Europe members during one of the group's annual conferences.
And finally, Sir Ian McKellen, doesn't much care for those ubiquitous Bibles left in desk drawers in most Western hotel rooms. While we're just reporting and not endorsing this, the openly gay Lord of the Rings star admitted during an interview with Details magazine that he tears out the most often quoted anti-gay Bible passage, Leviticus 18:22, which reads, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." Every time he finds one in his hotel room. "I'm not proudly defacing the book," he said, "but it's a choice between removing that page and throwing away the whole Bible." McKellen says his actions have inspired others to do the same. "I got delivered a package of 40 of those pages that had been torn out by a married couple I know," he said. "They put them on a bit of string so that I could hang it up in my bathroom."
That's News Wrap for the week ending November 7th, 2009, written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. You can read the text of this week's News Wrap online at www.thiswayout.org.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Taryn James.
And I'm Sherry Lund.
This is Queer Voices.
This is Brian Levinka.
And Jennifer Renee.
And we have some thank yous.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we do. Go to the thank yous, Glenn.
Okay. We can thank Randy, who liked Ray's pitch to the people of Galveston.
Is this guy from Galveston?
It doesn't say. But
okay, well, we'll assume that he was, and he's calling in from the island after Ray pitched.
Right. And so, thank you, Randy. And Gary also provided us with a pledge, and so did Summer. And so, you know, $50, $100 at a time, and that's how we get it done.
That we do it, yeah, a dollar at a time.
Yeah. And so we need you out there before we start our interview to call us at 713-526-5738 before the volunteers leave.
Yes, unfortunately, we will not be staffed all night, so we need you to call now before they leave. They've been here all day working hard for KPFT, and we need you to call and pledge. This is you voting for gay radio in Houston. This is how we work here. You know, we're a public radio station, and we need your vote and your dollars.
Absolutely. And now's the time to do it, right now.
713-526-5738.
All right,
make
thank
those
you.
Phones ring.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the interview. Coming up this week.
This week, yeah.
We have a wonderful fundraiser called Illuminations Project, and we have the executive producer and director, Falcon Fleur, in the studio. Welcome, Falcon.
Thank you.
So, tell us about Illuminations.
Well, Illuminations was created 8 years ago by Jane Wiener of Hope Stone. And her vision, while driving through the countryside, she came across a billboard, as the story's told to me. She came across a billboard. You heard the story?
Yeah, I've heard the story.
It's a good story. It's let's believe it.
Let's believe it. So she was driving through the backwoods of some state, and she saw a billboard that had a big red ribbon on it, and she thought, cool, AIDS awareness way out here in the countryside. And when she got closer to it, she saw that it was actually for the American Heart Association. Right. And it got her thinking that, you know, she's lost so many of her co-dancers and choreographers and friends in New York City, because she's a dance and choreographer from the Broadway stage, that she thought about that, and she said, you know, there's not enough AIDS awareness going on out there right now. So she created Illuminations Project, and this has been a show that we try to do as close to World AIDS Day as possible, which is December 1st.
Right, I was going to ask you about that.
So,
because we're kind of a couple of weeks away from December
1st. We are, so we're doing a prelude.
Oh, that's a good thing.
So what we're doing is we're asking a lot of the different organizations that are doing events for World AIDS Day to bring out their stuff to the Hobby Center. And okay, we have tables set up. And we also do have different beneficiaries come in.
Right.
As far as, you know, we have the different AIDS services come in. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they set up tables, and we don't really have them manning the tables, or just pamphlets, so it's not like a hard sell.
So it's kind of an informational thing?
It's informational thing. We basically also have the dancers come in, and they bring out their information. So we just basically try to inform the community as much as possible about what's going on around World AIDS Day and try to get people to start wearing those red ribbons again.
Yes.
So this is a fun show. What we do is this year's show is being presented in association with the Gulf Coast Archive Museum.
Claps for them.
Claps for them. This way your donations can be tax deductible within the limits of the law. And what this show does is we ask a lot of the different dance companies here in Houston and a few of the local entertainers to come out and put on one fantastic show.
Last year was amazing.
I thought so.
I loved it. Now, Falcon, we can't really mention ticket prices on KPFT, but,
but they're reasonable.
They're reasonable, but we can tell people how to get tickets.
Okay.
Let's just throw that out there right now while we're talking.
Well, you can get tickets through the Hobby Center at thehobbycenter.org, and that's probably the best way. And
it'll say like Illuminations Project.
It will. You go to buy tickets, and then the next screen, you just go down to November events, and it'll say Illuminations Project.
Mm-hmm.
And there's promo codes that you can put in and stuff. Yeah. So if you have a promo code, if you go onto my Facebook, I'll give you the promo code.
You're not going to give that to our listeners, huh?
You want the promo code?
No, we'll just send them to your Facebook.
Well, I mean, you can go to illuminationsproject.org. The mm-hmm. promo codes will be on there.
Okay.
For all the discounts. The tickets are being deeply discounted now because this show is about awareness. It's not so much about making a lot of money for our beneficiaries. We want people to come out, see the information that's available to them in the lobby. What the Gulf Coast Archive Museum is doing this year is they're actually going to have a whole history of AIDS.
Oh.
They're bringing in some of the dresses from some of the performers, some of the clippings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly what all, but they're going to decorate the whole, I got to say this right, the lobby of the Hobby Center.
The lobby of the hobby.
I always want to say the Hobby Lobby.
That's a different thing. Yeah.
I know. And the lobby of the Hobby Center, and they're going to decorate the whole Zilka Hall lobby.
Zilka Hall, I was going to ask.
Yes, it's just Zilka Hall.
The one on the side, the little smaller one.
The small one.
But, no, still good.
Small but big.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, get on that stage, and you're like, oh, boy.
Right. So in the lobby, you'll have these wonderful displays, informational, from organizations and also the performers, correct?
Yes.
Let's talk about more of the, what can our audience expect at the Illuminations Project? Who's performing?
Who's performing this year? Well, Hope Stone.
Uh-huh.
We got to have them because they started this.
Mm-hmm.
The Houston Metropolitan Dance Company.
They were so wonderful last year. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, my God. They are amazing. They are amazing. I mean, you ask them to do anything and they're right there. And I am so impressed with Marlena and her team.
Mm-hmm.
The City Ballet of Houston, I cannot say this company's name right because I'm going to screw it up. I always screw it up. It's Sofonia. I always want to say Sofonia. Sofonia. It's Spanish. I cannot roll my tongue properly. But Sofonia Dance Company, the Dance of Asia America, Uptown Dance Company. We have Clay Hardy, who's a live singer, Kimberly Ann O'Neill, Regina Dane, and the Houston Flyboys. And we got to have the Houston Flyboys. And, oh, thank you. Second generation dance company.
I was checking. I have it listed here, and I was going to make sure you covered it.
It's just dawned on me. I got one of my
posters
proof,
right there.
I got my proof poster, so it's wrong. I grabbed the wrong poster. An Uptown Dance Company. So we got some wonderful dance companies coming in. We got people who are going to be doing ballet, contemporary, jazz, flags.
Mm-hmm.
We got a couple of drag numbers just to make it fun and interesting. We got to throw in a little bit for everybody.
Exactly.
And even with our female impersonators, they do such a wonderful job of making it look very professional and tasteful.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you can bring the whole family to.
You know what I like is it's kind of a community-based celebration from different, you know, there's kind of a little bit of arts and a little bit of our, you know, our gay community and, you know, the Flyboys, which represent our community very well.
Right.
And it's all coming together. In years past, it was more kind of formal and kind of, you know, New York style. And
New York style. Now
it's more down-home Houston style.
I wanted to bring it back to Houston. Well, number one, I don't know anybody in New York. That's face facts. Right. When Jane asked me to do this for her, I was a little lost. And obviously, that first year, which was last year when I took it over, I believe I have a firm philosophy, life philosophy, that all people can do is say no.
Exactly.
So I always ask.
That's key to fundraising, yeah. Let me tell you.
It is.
And it's important to know that the funds raised will go where?
To the Gulf Coast Archive Museum and to Montrose Counseling Center.
Both very good organizations.
Very good organizations. Mm-hmm. You know, many people donate to them already, but this is a wonderful idea for mm-hmm. this project. Absolutely.
So, the show's this Wednesday at 7:30. And like I said, you know, go on to our website tonight. There will be some promo codes for deep discount tickets because, like I said, I'm not looking to make a ton of money.
You want to fill the house.
I want to fill the house.
Exactly. Yeah. And Zilka Hall's not that big. So.
Well, the thing
it's
is
500 seats.
Some people can enjoy something. This is a special occasion to see the arts and dance and entertainment that you won't see any other time except this event.
Well, the nice part is during this last year, we've done enough promo shows that we raise money to send people with AIDS to see this show.
I read that today in the emails that you're bringing those people in.
Right. So all the money we raise for all these promo shows, we bought seats.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's great.
So if they want to get tickets, all they got to do is, once again, go to illuminationsproject@yahoo.com, send me an email. They do not have to give me their real name.
Oh, that's
just
good.
Give me a name and maybe the last four digits of their phone numbers. I have a table set up, like a will call table. You come in, give me their name. I'll give you two tickets per person.
Now, isn't there also an awards presentation during this?
There is an awards presentation. We have some wonderful nominees this year. This year's
for
nominees,
what awards?
Yes, tell us about that.
It's called the Illuminations Award, and what we do is I base it on a system that I call PACE, which is people go out into the community and do prevention, awareness, community, and education.
Okay.
And I ask people to submit nominees every year. And this year we got John Nietzschman.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. We should. This is for the individual awards.
Right, right.
John Nietzschman, who does a lot of international immigration.
Prominent lawyer.
Prominent lawyer here. So he does immigration law for people with HIV and AIDS.
Right.
We have John Shefchuk, who works for PWA Holiday Charities, who puts on the camp out every year. And
sends
people with AIDS twice a year to a camp out just to get away from their problems.
Oh.
And I volunteer at the camp out every time. And what I do, I talk to these people, and it's amazing the communication that they have going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's a nice way for them, instead of doing like a formal therapy group session, they can just go and relax.
Right.
And
absolutely.
Camp out. And
get away from all that.
Get away from the city, you know, drama. We also have Eric Rowland, who works for Legacy Community Health Services in their marketing department, and he's been doing that forever and does a fantastic job. Our business and organizations nominees this year is the Bayou City Performing Arts, the Buyers Club, and George Barr.
Oh, okay.
All very, very good.
George does a wonderful job. You know, bar. but George, you know, he brings in Legacy to do the HIV testing in his bar.
Right.
And anytime anybody does a show there, he donates, which you don't get that too often from a lot of the bar owners.
Mm-hmm. No, you don't.
He'll throw out $100 every time.
Right.
And he's just an amazing guy. And all you got to do is ask, and he's like going, whatever you want. Whatever you want.
So the night of the event, you'll have an award ceremony?
We sure will.
So,
yeah. So right in the middle of the show.
That's awesome. Yeah,
we do a 20-minute intermission. We bring out one of our dance performers to get the people back in their seats. And right after that, we go right into the awards, and then we finish up our show.
Let me say that last year, I have to say that the show is very well produced.
Thank you.
And I saw that, and it flowed very well. I was skeptical. I was like, oh, there's a lot of different acts, and how well is this going to flow? But it flowed very well, and it goes by very quickly, and it's very entertaining.
Well, I was really, and I don't know if you heard me when I came out on the stage, because I always introduce the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out on the stage, and my voice was cracking, and I have no problem talking in front of people.
No, you're a public speaker.
Well, this time, I went out and I kind of cracked and I had to stop and put the mic away and count to 10 and come back to it because the whole day of doing teching and everything happening and all the teching, and I got to tell you guys, we pulled the tech board from the middle of the auditorium back to the lighting room at 5 minutes before people are supposed to walk in.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so we were doing teching right up to showtime.
I know, yeah.
And so, and I went out there and I was so nervous for some reason. And I pulled the mic away. I'm going, everything's going okay.
I didn't even notice. I was in the audience. I didn't even notice last year. You were so cool and calm.
Well, I wasn't. In my mind, I'm still thinking, where is the screw up?
I know. But you did well. What do you want?
I know that you put many months into it, and it showed. And you know,
well, actually, last year was a quick one.
Yeah, we have more time this year.
I had more time this year, and I actually had more problems this year.
we need our listeners.
It's one way of looking at it.
We need our listeners to get it out and fill Zilka Hall.
Yes.
This Wednesday,
it's 7:30.
Go to illuminationsproject.org or email you at
illuminationsproject@yahoo.com.
We need to fill Zilka Hall. This is a very important
thing. You can also go to hobbycenter.org.
Hobbycenter.org.
Yeah.
Yes. Fill the hall. This is
fill
important.
The hall.
We need people to show up.
Please.
Anything we've missed?
The only thing I want to say is thank you to our executive. I have to throw this out because I promised them that I'm going to let them know. We had a wonderful donation, so I want to thank our executive donors, which is Avanti Stone. So I said I'll make sure you guys get your name splashed off.
Fantastic.
I know we don't do commercials here, but.
We've been speaking to Falcon Fleur. And it's Illuminations this Wednesday, 7:30 at Hobby Center. What hall?
Zilka Hall.
Zilka Hall. Yes. And this is Queer Voices.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm Ray Hill. You're listening to radio station KPFT Houston. We're a child of the Pacifica Foundation, and Pacifica Foundation was founded in 1949 and virtually invented public radio. Much of what you know about the history of yourself, your country, your society, much you understand about your culture has grown out of public radio and television stations that had their roots in Pacifica Foundation. We need and deserve your continuous support. Listen carefully for the number. The host will tell you how you can become a listener subscriber to this important media effort.
You're listening to KPFT 90.1, Houston.
What converts a KPFT listener into a KPFT contributor? One reason is a sense of social responsibility. Many people who make their first ever gift tell us that they view KPFT as a shared community resource. And if you get some value from it, you should put something back in. Today, we ask that you consider the value you've received from KPFT over the past year, or two, or three. Then please put a little something back in, not only for yourself, but also for your entire community. Many people make their first ever gift a $60 contribution. You can make a difference for less than a dollar a week, and the process takes just 2 minutes. Call 713-526-5738. Call right now, 713-526-KPFT. Thanks for listening to 90.1 FM, KPFT.
You've been around me long enough to know, and now it's up to me, so I suppose I feel you now. What's wrong with you is wrong with me. The pieces of the puzzle scattered out. It doesn't do much to remove the doubt.
Always. scattered out. And it doesn't do much to remove the doubt I'm feeling now. Do I dare to ask you how? And if I don't know by now, I never will anyhow. The joke's on me. If I don't know by now, I never will anyhow. The joke's on me. The joke's on me. The joke's on me. The joke's on me.
That was a group called Halcyon and their song The Joke's on Me from 2001, the album Plugged, Stripped Down, and Live. At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Walensky and the entire Queer Voices crew. And we have some generous listeners to thank who have called in their pledge of support to KPFT. Teresa, who called and said that Larry is just brilliant and really likes the dialogue. And Sharon called in her support, and she said that she would like to get something about a Celtic CD. I guess we have that. Or is it pronounced Celtic?
Yes.
We have that as one of our gift premiums.
And we still have volunteers out there waiting for your call. Is that correct? I think
yes,
so.
Yes, we need...
So we need
we
you.
A volunteer, yes.
A volunteer. There's one left. We need you to make the phone ring, 713-526-5738.
Or just show up with a bag of money.
Absolutely.
Well, we like that, too.
Small, unmarked bills.
But usually they show up to take money from us.
But the key is that this is community-supported radio. That means you. So take the time. This is your time to pick up the phone and call 713-526-5738.
And we have the convenient internet also, kpft.org. You can go there and donate online. If you're not in the Houston area and you're listening in the far, far Midwest regions.
Or overseas. Absolutely.
And you mentioned community radio. The previous interview was a very community-oriented event. And
yes.
In the studio tonight, we have another community organization.
Yes, celebrating their 40th anniversary.
The Crew of Olympus. And we have the Director of Fundraising, Dwayne Todd. Hello.
Hello.
And we also have the VP of the crew, Anne Couch. Is that right?
That's right. Good evening.
Well, welcome. 40 years. What am I?
That's a long time. That's older than you.
I was not around when it started.
Neither were we.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So how are we celebrating the 40th anniversary?
We're going to celebrate the 40th anniversary all year long, and we're starting off with a party coming up here this month on at JR's on the Santa Fe side on Sunday, November the 22nd from 3 to 5 p.m.
And it's free, right?
It's absolutely free. There's no charge to get in. And we're going to have just a celebration. Come over, enjoy, meet crew members, supporters, past crew members. We're going to have a lot of good food and, of course, Mardi Gras beads.
Now, isn't Crew of Olympus always about a party? Every event is like a big old party.
We like to enjoy life, and so, no. Yes, it is.
Well, I understand the roots of the crew come from New Orleans. New Orleans.
That's correct. The crew originated in New Orleans about 1970, and it stayed there until the late 80s.
Yeah.
And...
They all got drunk and drove over to Texas.
Well,
didn't
unfortunately,
they?
The late 80s in the economy in New Orleans wasn't very good,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the members of the crew were lost to the AIDS epidemic.
Right.
Oh, yes.
And before that happened, there were members or people from here in Houston that went over and joined, or they were guests of the ball over there.
Mm-hmm.
And as the late 80s came around, the inevitable was they got together and they said, let's try moving it to Houston.
Bigger city.
Let's try moving it to Houston and educate the folks of Houston of the fun and the pleasures of Mardi Gras.
Now, you have different events throughout the year. I know during Mardi Gras you have your big ball. Can we talk about that and what goes on there?
Most of the events throughout the year are fundraising events so that we can put on the ball.
Right.
So I'm going to pass that over to Dwayne.
This is my second year to be the director of fundraising, and thank goodness I'm term limited by our bylaws. I can't do it again next year. But
now, is that fund with a D, or is that fun?
I like to do the fun, F-U-N, but the purpose is F-U-N-D.
I'm just checking.
Can you do both at the same
time? It is. We have two purposes there each time go. For a party. This year, as fundraising director, I've tried to have an event every calendar month during the year for the crew. Okay. And we do everything from garage sales. We have four major parties every year. Okay. This year we did a Wild Wild West party. We also typically do what's called a Fado Do party, mm-hmm. which is always the first weekend in October. We just finished yesterday with a new event called the Crew Brunch.
Kicked Up Brunch. Yeah. I saw that.
Latin style. And then our last party of the year is going to be January the 9th, which is going to be a 12th night party, which right. begins the carnival season.
Oh,
and between
okay.
those things, we also do, we sell beads at all the Pride Parades mm-hmm. events. We went to Austin this year. We went to San Antonio. We also went to Galveston. And, of course, we sold beads and raised funds here in Houston as well. We have raffles, and we also have just anything we can do to raise money.
Right, but basically. That all goes towards the main Mardi Gras ball. Is that correct?
That's correct. That goes to the ball.
That's very elaborate and ostentatious and fabulous, all rolled into one.
And then at the ball itself, we do, one of our purposes is to raise money for other organizations. And so we do take up a collection from our guests at that ball, which is usually a pretty significant amount of money. And we pass that on to the designated charities that we, at the beginning of the year, that we designate to receive those funds.
And are those mostly HIV charities, or are they just community charities?
They're GLBT community
okay.
charities.
Okay, so...
This year I can...
tell us who's going to be the recipient this year?
The recipients this year is the group of Assisters.
Oh, great group. Women, love them.
Yes. Awesome group. The Colt 45's mm-hmm. AIDS Trouble Fund mm-hmm. and P Flag Hatch Youth Scholarship Fund.
Yes, great.
And this is for
great
next
groups.
Year, coming up the 40th anniversary. Was this?
That's correct.
Okay.
The monies that we collect at the ball in February will be distributed among those three mm-hmm. charities.
I've got a question. What's Fado Do?
Fado Do.
Fado Do.
Fado Do.
I'm Texan.
Fado Do.
I did grow up close to Louisiana, but...
Well, you'll need to come to our party to really experience it and understand the definition,
okay.
but I'll try to tell you that it is a Cajun dance party. The crew, what we do is the crew cooks all different types of Cajun food.
Mm-hmm.
We also have
that's
a great...
That's enough to come for that.
Cajun music playing, and of course...
You mean Zydeco.
Yes, and everything else too. And
lots
then, of course,
fiddle.
We have adult beverages, so that helps out too.
That's what I kind of... I've seen a lot of that in there. Now, let me ask you a question. How does one become a member of the crew?
Show interest and give me a call or send me an email and
okay.
say we would like to become a member. We take membership throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
There are some there are certain times that are better than others
right.
to join.
Right.
Tell
us the best time
you.
To join.
When should people join?
The best time to join is the 1st of April, 1st of May.
Right after the ball?
Right after the ball.
So you're starting next year.
Right.
Yeah.
We have appreciation party usually the last weekend of March. And we get a lot of prospective members then. We try to get the word out that we're having this party and to kind of say thank you to all mm-hmm. of our supporters throughout the year, to show our appreciation and also to introduce the crew to some new folks in the community.
And how many members do you have roughly? I know it's pretty large.
We are about 62 members this
okay.
year. We fluctuate somewhere
right.
around between 60 and 70 every year,
right.
but this year we're right at 62 or 63.
Right, right. Well, I mean, congratulations making it to 40 years. I mean, we've had so many organizations in Houston that have come and gone that haven't made it, you know, half as long. So
you know, we feel real fortunate that we've been able to do it. it's very hard for a small 501c3, I think, to make it as long as we have. The crew is a very close-knit, very family group. Mm-hmm. Many of us do not have family here in the area.
Right.
And
we're kind of our own family.
We are our own family.
Right.
We're our own family within the community, and we like it that way. It really works well for all of us and keeps us going.
Well, you know, your events are very fun, and that's, I think, what the heart of keeping you relevant to Houston is fun events that raise money.
That's what we try to do.
Definitely.
That's exactly what we try to do.
Definitely.
And there's a lot of organizations like that, but you're supporting some very good organizations. Now, I'm assuming that the organizations change each year, or do you, or some of them that you do all the time?
We re-vote every year. We ask for charities, other 501c3s, to present applications, and they come and present their program to the membership, and the membership will then vote on who those charities are going to be for that year.
What time of year is that proposal deadline, I guess?
That's about the 1st of May.
Okay.
It allows us to start our new fiscal year April 1,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and get everyone on board.
Right.
And then we take in applications and then choose. And we'd like to have the application the charities named before we start going to the Houston Pride and Austin Pride and San Antonio Pride, so we can show that folks we're supporting those organizations.
And there's so much need in our community for the small 501c3 nonprofits. The money is so necessary. So your organization and others like that are very important to keeping our community, you know, providing those services to our organizations, our communities. So I applaud that.
Thank you.
And let's see. Give us when it's going to be again, this next
one. Let's talk about the anniversary party.
Well, you want to talk about the anniversary party, when it is, so that everyone will know. We've talked about a lot of areas. Tell us about the party.
The anniversary party is going to be November the 22nd. That's a Sunday afternoon at JR's. We're going to run it from about 3 to 5. And as Dwayne said earlier, we're going to have as many of the past crew members, past charities, past supporters, anybody in the community that wants to come out and celebrate and have a party with us and be very happy with us.
Is that the Sunday before Thanksgiving?
Yes. Sunday before Thanksgiving.
So everyone will be in town and they can come out, and I'm sure the weather will be nice.
Absolutely, but it's inside, so it's at JR's.
Well, it's, isn't
it's
it,
always sunny in
it's
JR's.
The side patio.
Well, that's one way of looking at it.
Yes.
Also, we want to make sure that we tell your listeners that our 40th anniversary ball is going to be on February the 6th.
Oh, yes.
And it's going to be at the George R. Brown. It is by invitation only, but if someone wants an invitation, there are links on our website, and more than likely we always try to give everyone who wants an invitation to come to, we try to provide that for them.
You have like events leading up where you can go and schmooze and get invitations.
Absolutely, especially on the 12th night, January the 9th. The venue hasn't been determined yet, but we'll be putting that out in the community. That's a great time. We have a sign-up list if you want to attend the ball.
And the event is incredible, the ball.
Thank you.
I mean, you know, if you want to dress up and really dress up, that's the one to go to.
Now, has the theme been announced, or is that not yet?
Yes, it has. Theme this year is going to be Ports of Call.
Ports
so
of Call.
So we're going to tour the world.
Oh, I can see the costumes already.
Costume
oh,
and song.
My gosh.
So,
I bet Singapore is going to be a good one.
There's going to be, and you know, there is always creative license too, so there's always fun.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But we'd like to tell the listeners too that our website
is
www.mardigrastexas.com.
That's easy to remember.
Yes, and there's information there that has my phone number, my email address, for folks who might be interested in joining us or that might have questions.
Do you want to give out your email address now? Are you brave?
No,
okay.
I would prefer to go to the website.
Okay. I'm just putting you on the spot. Sorry
don't
about that.
Put her on the
that's
spot
okay.
like
I'm
that.
Sorry.
And we do also have a crew email address.
Ah, okay.
That's even better.
Let's give that one out.
Yes, that's Crew of Olympus, Texas, at Yahoo.
I'll spell that for them.
Crew of Olympus. Olympus, Texas, Texas,
at Yahoo. So, crew, is spelled differently. So.
But, yeah, that's the main part of it.
That's the Cajun way.
Cajun way.
And that contact number is also on our website.
Okay, so
you get to the website.
Go to the website.
And you can find the website, Mardi Gras Cruise, Houston, and we should pop up.
And when you, if you Google Crew of Olympus, it will pop up there, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
And we've been speaking with...
This is Dwayne Todd and Ann Couch of the Crew of Olympus, and we appreciate you coming on. And we ask that our listeners go out and celebrate the 40th anniversary of a wonderful community organization at JR's on November 22nd, which is a Sunday, 3 to 5 p.m. And go to the website, which is?
www.MardiGrasTexas.com.
Is there anything else you want to get the word out to our listeners about? The Crew of Olympus.
Come out and enjoy. We're gonna party, and this is a party you do not want to miss.
If you have not been to a crew event, it's a blast. There's a lot of different people and all kinds of fun. It's always fun.
Yeah,
it is fun.
Thank you for coming.
For all ages.
All ages. Not just, yes, all ages.
Well, thank you for having us. We certainly enjoyed it.
All right,
we
thank you.
We appreciate you coming on.
Thanks. This is Queer Voices.
Thank you.
Listener contributions play an extremely important role in the quality of the music and news you hear on this station. If you've never made a contribution to KPFT, we need to hear from you. With the threat of reduced federal funding for public radio, first-time contributors are more important now than ever. Call 713-526-5738 now to make your tax-deductible contribution or pledge online at kpft.org. We need your pledge. You make a huge difference in this radio station when you pledge to KPFT. Again, that number is 713-526-KPFT. Call and make your tax-deductible contribution today. You can also pledge online at kpft.org. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio. KPFT, Houston. We get letters, emails, and phone calls saying thanks. Thanks for playing a piece of music. Thanks for keeping listeners up to date on events in our area. Thanks for introducing our fans to new talent. Now we're asking you to say thanks in a very tangible way. We're asking you to make a pledge. When you call with your contribution, you'll be providing us with the resources we need to keep bringing you the new talent, to keep informing you on events at clubs and concert halls, to bring you great news, to keep playing that favorite tune you can hear nowhere else. Call now with your pledge, 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT. You can also help on our secure website at kpft.org. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston.
This is Queer Voices. Can you imagine Jimmy and Chris naked?
That's a scary thought.
Those are the hosts of After Hours, by the way.
Yes,
they
do Naked Radio.
Naked Radio.
That's my Texas accent coming out. Naked Radio.
Naked Radio. Nothing on but the radio. It's the name of a fundraiser that these guys are doing for KPFT.
Yay!
And also for, it's a canned food drive benefiting Resurrection MCC's food pantry.
Which needs help.
We love
a lot of the food pantries are running short.
That's right. That's coming up this Saturday, November 14th, starting at 8 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket on West Dallas. The admission is free, but they are accepting canned food donations, and then they're going to have female illusionists.
Yes, we're just going to call them drag queens.
Yeah.
And, for our people that know what they are.
Yeah, a drag queen is...
And apparently the tips that they collect that night will go to KPFT.
Yay.
So it helps out two different things.
That's right. So you don't have to sing to get in.
No, but I think you may have to take off your clothes.
You have to dance.
You have to dance? Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Whatever.
No. But anyway, there's they're going to be live singers and female illusionists. And it's going to be on Quebecois. We would call it on spectacle.
Quebecois. Now, Glenn, do we have anybody to thank from the last break?
Unfortunately, no.
No. So that means that nobody called in while we were on the air.
Not last interview?
Not during the last interview.
No, that's a shame. Well, they probably didn't have the telephone number.
Are we going to
pull
a Ray Hill again?
Absolutely.
Ray Hill, yes.
713-526-5738.
Galveston, where are you?
Holla, we need your money.
We need
money.
you to call in and pledge. We do,
this
now.
Is, we need your money.
This is your radio station.
This is gay radio. We need you to support gay radio.
With an attitude.
And, well, you know, I would also like to get at least one call from our internet listeners, like the one in Perth, Australia.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I guess they would be a couple hours behind us, I guess. I don't know.
Well, they could always just show up at the front door with a bucket of money.
They could just send, yeah.
I had one from the Czech Republic one time.
That's my homeland. Yes. Yeah.
You're a Czech?
I'm Czech. You've seen my last name. It's crazy. It's Crazy Czech.
Oh, Hlavinka.
Well, I think we should...
I thought it was something you said when you sneezed. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've heard everything in the book, let me tell you.
Hey, we've got a guest.
We have a guest. And this last week, we had an event that I don't know... how many people attended, because I was at something else. But Daniel Williams was there, and he can tell us all about
it. This is our mystery guest.
Well, it was very last minute put together. A group of us, last Monday evening, most of us had attended the March on Washington back in October, had gotten together Monday evening to talk about next steps, what we wanted to do locally. And what we had found is, you know, we'd all made friends in other parts of the country, and we were getting these emails and Facebook messages that said, hey, you know, up in New York, we're going to have thousands of people on the street protesting the one-year anniversary of Prop 8 in California. Right. Or, hey, in Dallas, we're doing this, and in San Francisco, we're doing this. And we were all sitting in the meeting kind of going, we can't let Houston not be represented.
Exactly.
We're, you know, fourth largest, soon to be third largest city in the country, and we can't just do nothing. So last Wednesday evening, which was the one-year anniversary of Prop 8 passing in California, and of course was the day after Decision 1 passed in Maine.
Right, right.
There about 80-plus Houstonians took...
80.
80-plus. Oh, we had a very good turnout.
That's
awesome. For 2 days planning, excellent turnout. 80-plus Houstonians took to the streets of downtown Houston and marched to City Hall and said... we want equality.
Now, did y'all march down, like, the street, or did you march down the sidewalk?
Well, we marched down the sidewalk because 2 days planning is not enough to get a parade permit.
Yeah, you just kind of... So, it's just a lot of people walking on the sidewalk.
But, a lot of people walking on the sidewalk. We stopped traffic, actually.
Now, did y'all have any of the rainbow flags and everything?
Oh, we were led by an enormous rainbow flag that was very generously donated by some activists in Dallas for the cause.
Great. Now,
was it as big as the one we had in the National March?
No.
That was gigantor.
That was gigantor. That was an incredible experience. I know Brian was there.
I was there, and I'm wearing the shirt in memory. My shirt says
legalize gay.
You cannot see what I'm wearing. This is radio, true. But my shirt says legalize gay, and it's the support of our movement and what we did D.C. and what we did last week in
equality,
here in
fairness. That's what's important.
So what is the name of your fledgling organization?
Well, at this point, it's not an organization. It's an ad hoc group.
Well, name it here on the radio. Proclaim the name.
Proclaim yourself and give yourself
How
a name.
Marriage Equality Houston.
You know, I think that's an excellent idea, and
I'm
we are actually
throwing it out there.
Actually, the ad hoc group it will be getting together next Monday evening at the HCC Central Campus, which is at 1300 Holman Street at 7 p.m. We're being hosted by the ALTSA, which is the SGA group at HCC. If you have an idea for the name, or if you don't have an idea for the name and just want to get involved, please come by.
How would they contact you or your ad hoc group?
You can email nemhouston@gmail.com. That's National Equality March, nemhouston@gmail.com.
I think we need to give a little shout out to Lakia.
Yes, yes.
She's kind of, you know, also one of the originators of this group, I would
agitator. Say. Lakia Spady, who is the president of ALTSA, has been very key in all of these efforts. And she and I and a few other people actually hit the streets last Saturday evening in the Montrose Bar District talking to people about H.R. 3567.
Now, pray tell, what is this?
Well, please. Let me tell you, Brian. H.R. 3567 is the Respect for Marriage Act. It's a bill that's been introduced in Congress that would repeal the Defense of Marriage Act.
This trumps DOMA.
This gets rid of DOMA. This makes DOMA go away.
Boo.
Yeah. Boo, hiss, hiss, indeed. The bill was introduced by a congressman from New York, and it is currently sitting in committee. And for those of you who don't know how laws, you know, we all were in civics class in high school, I know, but we've probably forgotten how bills become law. Every year, thousands and thousands of bills get introduced in Congress.
Right.
And most of them get referred to committee, and then nothing happens.
They just sit.
They just sit there, and they die, and they go away. And we don't want that to happen to this bill. So
what are we doing about it?
Well, we need to call our congresspeople. And we need to tell our congresspeople to co-sponsor, that's the word you use, co-sponsor H.R. 3567, the Respect for Marriage Act.
Now, listeners, do you know who your representative is?
That's a very good question because a lot of people don't. Easiest way to find out, go to any search engine, go to google.com or goodsearch.com. And if you go to Good Search, of course, you can use your search to support KPFT.
Ooh, we like that.
And type in, who is my congressman? A link will come right up, put in your address, phone number, address, whole nine yards for your congressperson will come up.
Well, mine is Sheila Jackson Lee, and I'm happy to.
What search engine does this?
Oh, goodsearch.com. You can name a nonprofit to receive, it's like a fraction of a penny every time you search, but if you're anything like me, you search.
Oh, you seem like you'd be a pretty computer savvy person. I kid.
But any search engine works. Google, Yahoo, anything works.
Okay, so we want our representatives to co-sponsor this bill.
Right now, the bill has 104 co-sponsors. We actually picked up a co-sponsor on Saturday.
How many do we need?
Well, there's not a determined figure. What a co-sponsor is, it's a way for a lawmaker to put their name on a bill to say, I support this bill.
Right.
And typically they'll do that so that they can then in the next election go to a community and say, hey, look at what I've done to help you.
Go to the gay community and say, look.
Yeah, now give me money.
I supported this bill. And also it says that you're going to vote for it. The more people that co-sponsor a bill, the more likely it is to pass.
Exactly. And that's how we get it unstuck. That's how we get it out of committee. We get it a hearing. Is to call your representatives and say, co-sponsor H.R. 3567, the Respect for Marriage Act.
So can we call our senators, or is it just the House of Representatives?
Right now, there's not a Senate companion. It certainly doesn't hurt to call your senators, ever.
Yeah, call them and see what you get. I've called our senators before.
Voicemail.
But I do want to say, because I'm a former legislative aide, so I used to take these calls all the time.
Yeah.
And the people, when you call, the people you're talking to, their job is to talk to you and to take your call. And they don't want to argue with you. They just want to get your opinion and get you off the phone so they can go on to the next thing that's on their desk. So don't feel like you have to be an expert in the law or the expert in what the bill does in order to call. You can just call and say, I would like, you know, I'm a constituent and I want my representative to co-sponsor H.R. 3567, the Respect for Marriage Act.
3567. Now, besides this push for legislation, what else is your group planning to do? What are the goals?
Well, a lot of that will be determined at this meeting Monday night, so I do hope that people will come out. And we are committed to the Dallas principles, those principles that the group decides what's going to happen.
I thought the Dallas principles is wear the best clothing and wear the best shoes and live in the...
Now, wait a minute. Early on, Ray Hill was talking about Fort Worth, and now you're talking about Dallas. And I'm from DFW.
Houston does not get along with Dallas. I have to tell you this.
You know, I lived in Dallas for 10 years, and I never knew that.
Well, have you heard of
Dallas? No one informed us that apparently you don't like us.
No, that's not kind. What it is, it's like a relationship and only one person's having it.
It's like the it's like the sibling rivalry, the brothers that don't get along. We're bigger than Dallas and they're jealous.
But I have to hand it to the people in Dallas-Fort Worth on how they've handled the situation in the Fort Worth Bar, the Rainbow Lounge.
What's the latest you've heard on that?
Well, there is a city council meeting tomorrow evening, actually, where the city council will look at some recommendations that have been made on how they can be more accepting of the community. Now, unfortunately, there's a large group of evangelicals who have sworn that they are not going to let any gay people, any lesbian people, bisexual, transgender into the city council hall. So,
wait, don't we have one of our own on Fort Worth City Council?
We do have one of our own.
Are they going to prevent Joel
city
from... Joel Burns?
Friend of the show, he's been on the
We're going to have to see what happens. But I, you know, after Ray Hill... And I love Ray Hill. Ray Hill is one of my personal heroes. But
he's my hero.
He, you know, you can't go talking about DFW like that. Those lawmakers and the people in Fort Worth have stood up.
I see.
Well, but the thing is that, and what Ray was saying, though, any club or bar could be victimized like that anywhere. So, you know, we haven't won the war yet.
No.
Absolutely.
And that's why it's important.
We must not be complacent.
That in a city DFW size that this could happen. I'm still shocked by that. And if it could happen there, it could happen anywhere. Except here because of the Ray Hill.
It can happen here, but Ray Hill's going to go...
It'll be fire and brimstone coming down from Montrose.
Well, it has a tendency that the few... clubs that have had that happen, they backed away. Except for one on the west end of town, which I won't name the name, but they won't let gays in there.
We won't talk
trans people in there.
We won't talk about it. We will not give them any
publicity. We're not going to give them any advertising.
So, Daniel, if we have people out there listening and they want to get involved and they feel the passion and the fire and they want to fight this evil legislation, what do they do?
Well, like I said, first and foremost, be sure you're registered to vote.
Oh, my God. I love that you just said that. Please.
Call your congressman or congresswoman and say co-sponsor H.R. 3567, the Respect for Marriage Act. Hopefully, you can join us Monday evening, November 16th at 7 p.m., room 116 of the Learning Hub at HCC Central Campus. That's 1300 Holman Street, and help us figure out what the next steps are going to be. There will be a group Friday evening, the 13th, that will be flyering the Montrose area, making sure that the community is aware of this legislation. And if you want to get involved with that, email nemhouston@gmail.com. That's National Equality March, nemhouston@gmail.com. Also, if you live in Montrose, your congressman, Representative Culberson, is having a town hall.
Oh, Lord.
Thursday evening at Hunters Creek Elementary, 6:30 to 8 p.m. So that is an opportunity to speak to your elected representative in person, although I will warn you that Representative Culberson is not exactly an ally of our community.
I live across the street from his district. I live, luckily, in Sheila Jackson Lee's district, so I'm very happy. But, you know, what I know...
Unfortunately, he's my representative.
Well, you know
mine,
too.
Yes. You know,
what I noticed,
there's no accounting for taste.
What I noticed in this kind of ad hoc group is it's kind of the National Equality March has happened, and this is kind of what's next. And
absolutely.
And I think it's a younger kind of, I dare say, collegiate-aged group that's kind of taken on the reins and becoming the next generation of activists.
Well, I am flattered that you would put me in the collegiate age group, Brian.
You seem very young.
But I'll be 30 this month, so...
Oh, you're in your 20s.
Actually, we have a broad spectrum of people. It does tend to skewer a little bit younger within the ad hoc group, as you said. But this is a group for anyone who, if you're upset about California, if you're upset about Maine, if you're upset about the Rainbow Lounge, if you're upset about your voice no longer being heard in the halls of lawmakers, this is the group to attend, to find out what you can do and to help us do things. And like I said, one of the first things you can do is to call your congressperson.
The first thing is get registered.
Registered, vote first.
By Thursday,
absolutely.
Muy importante.
And one of the locations y'all left off of your list to pick up voter registration card is state law requires any public library.
Ooh, well, see, right here.
I didn't realize that.
Yes, state law requires any public library to have voter registration cards.
So please, please, please do that by Thursday. We need your votes in the runoff.
And
so,
when is that Fort Worth City Council meeting?
That is tomorrow evening. And I wish I could be up there to support my brothers and sisters there. I know that we're going to be well represented by the people at Equality March Texas and Queer Liver Action.
No, anybody that has tomorrow afternoon or evening off, go to Fort Worth, go in there, and walk in past any evangelicals who want to stop you.
Are they just going
to
block the door? I don't understand.
They're threatening to block the door.
Will they throw their bodies down? So
democracy
we can
step in action.
On there?
Well, there was actually a group in Fort Worth this weekend that was attacked. A group of people who were speaking out for equality.
We need to call Joel and get him on.
I'm sure, you know, and Fort Worth is very lucky. They have some wonderful elected officials, including Joel Burns, also Kathleen Hicks on the city council. My old boss, Representative Lon Burnham in the state legislature, and Wendy Davis, all of whom have responded beautifully to the situation at the Rainbow Lounge and have held people accountable.
Absolutely.
Well, it only shows who is against it only shows the ignorance of some of those people.
Absolutely. They're trying to beat us down.
Well, the thing is that they want to, if they're trying to block the doors, then they're trying to stop democracy.
Stifle voices.
Are they really as fascist as they seem?
Well, they're in the Christian and the family value.
They're desperate.
Yes.
They're desperate.
It reeks of desperation.
They see the sea change that is happening in our culture. They see that young people no longer have an issue if someone's gay or someone's transgendered, and they are panicking.
Absolutely. So if you are out there and you feel like this is your calling, you need to get involved. I would recommend it. Do you have a Facebook group? I know that.
Not yet. As I said, we're still an ad hoc.
Coming soon. There will be
soon.
A Facebook group.
Shame
you
on you, young.
You need to go to this meeting that's coming up when?
Monday, November the 16th, 7
that's
p.m.
Next Monday.
It's at the Learning Hub in HCC Central Campus. We're being hosted by ALSA, the student group there.
Excellent. And can you give out your email?
Yes. If you're interested in more information, please email NEM Houston. That's National Equality March. NEMHouston@gmail.com.
Is there anything else that you want our listeners to listen or do?
Call their congressperson and tell them to co-sponsor H.R. 3567, the Respect for Marriage Act, and register to vote.
This is our movement. Get involved.
Yes.
Be part of it.
And it'll take it. 30 seconds.
This is just one more step along the way.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And again, we're a pledge drive. We need your donations.
We segue back into our fun.
Yes,
F-U-N.
We're going to thank Don again, but what we needed to do was make sure that you know to call 713-526-5738. And we haven't had a call from Galveston recently.
Galveston, you need to come on. I know that you can hear them.
And for that matter, Conroe.
We have 100,000
show
watts.
Your support for KPFT radio, community radio. This is the only radio station you get to hear what you really want to hear.
Absolutely. We have 100,000 watts broadcasting over the great city of Houston. So I know that our voice is going out there. And you know what? That's not cheap. We have to pay for that. And we want you to pledge now to support gay radio in Houston. There is no other show that gives you the information on a weekly basis that Queer Voices does. And only KPFT allows that. So please, please, please call that number, 713-526-5738.
And this is Queer Voices.
And speaking of gay radio in Houston, I should put in a plug for J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage coming up at the end of the month.
Oh, yes. We love Queer Music Heritage. Yes.
This month, it's going to be lesbian comedians.
Lesbian comedians.
Oh, good. Oh, they are funny.
Music, or is it going to be like...
Well, I was wondering that, too, but I guess there's music
JD,
mixed in there.
Please email us so we can find out and tell our listeners.
Yeah. So it's going to be like a mixture.
Mm-hmm. Has the phone rang at all out there?
Not yet, unfortunately, no.
I think those people in Galveston are, maybe they just don't care.
I don't know, but you know what? They need to call. I know 89.5 broadcasts KPFT, and the number is 713-526-KPFT. Or if you are online listening in the far reaches of somewhere in, I don't know where, Kansas.
If you don't call and donate and pledge... At 713-526-5738, there's a chance we may not be on the air next week.
Oh, my gosh. I cannot even think. Perish the thought that we would not be on.
I mean, know that if we're not on the air next week,
it's your fault.
It could be your fault.
You listening right now.
It's your
right
fault.
Now.
If you haven't called in and pledged, it's...
We're not asking for a lot.
No.
You know, just a little bit. Probably what you spend a week on coffee at... Some coffee place on Montrose.
Possibly even one day.
Well, Jennifer, we know how your coffee habit is.
Yes, but you've got to call in at 713-526-5738. It's time to donate. It's time to pledge. This is your radio station, so call.
I know it's late. I know that you're about to go to bed. I know you probably have to work tomorrow, or you're probably just coming in from a restaurant or something.
We volunteer doing this stuff. Yeah,
absolutely, but what keeps us on the air is the pledges.
And you actually, we're not going to be on the air next week.
Oh my God. We didn't get enough pledges, and they're not going to allow us on the air?
Shame on you, guys.
Oh, my God. Look, y'all, see what's happened.
See, this
you have a chance.
Cause and effect.
To call in.
Yes,
we should make that program announcement, actually, right now, that regular programming is going to be preempted because there's going to be a KPFT, a network-wide fundraising drive for
radio.
for the archives.
Yes, archives. So, not
Pacifica archives.
Next week we're not going to be on, but the next week we could possibly not be on if you do not call right now.
And that'll be the 23rd of November be our next show, and that's Queer Music Heritage.
Yes,
that's the lesbian comedians in the second hour.
I can't even wait. I'm sure.
I can't wait. I'm going to save it. I'm going to go off to the archives where you can go get our past shows.
That's something we can also say, that on iTunes we have podcasts, so you can download those of our show and you can subscribe. So this is another service that KPFT provides and can very conveniently deliver our show to you.
And, of course, you can follow Queer Voices on Twitter.
That was what I was going to say.
We have somebody
just
staff.
With us.
Yeah, they can follow our Twitter. Tweets.
Summer is tweeting even as I'm speaking.
Summer is our intern, and she does a fantastic job.
And if
job.
You've forgotten, it's 713-526-5738. That's the number for you to call to pledge your support.
And we need those phones to ring. It's late. and I don't hear anything but myself talking in the radio, and that's not good. So 713-526-5738, please call.
And I know there's a council member.
The electorate in two U.S. states went to the polls on November 3rd to vote on the rights of lesbian and gay couples. In Maine, the issue was question one, which asked voters to overturn the marriage equality law that the legislature passed and the governor signed earlier this year. Amy Brown prepared this report.
Early on election night here in Bangor, Maine, it appeared that the efforts to protect the state's new marriage equality law would be successful. As the night went on, the numbers changed. Maine's Marriage Equality Act was passed by the state legislature and signed into law earlier this year. But the law was never implemented because opponents of marriage equality immediately used the citizen-based referendum process to force a statewide vote on an item calling for its repeal. Dawn Fortune and her partner, Laura Dowling, had set a wedding date when the law was passed, and they watched the results of the repeal vote on election night.
The polls closed. We were really cautiously hopeful. I mean, we were cautiously optimistic. We really were. We thought that Maine was going to appreciate the value of, you know what, you don't have to agree with people, but they've got the right to live the way they want to live. And the early numbers came in, and they were very, very encouraging. And then we just sort of watched them slip away. And by the time we wrapped up at just after 11, our lead had already evaporated.
The final vote was 53% in favor of repealing the marriage equality law. Organizers for marriage equality, while disappointed with the result, are heartened by the ties that have been formed between Maine-based activists and their counterparts in other states. Michael Wood of Hamden, Maine.
I've been totally blown away, and I just feel like our state has been blessed to receive all these people from away. We've had people from Denver, from San Diego, from San Francisco, from Chicago, Texas, Ohio, and it's blown me away personally, and just to see that people from away care about the state that I love so much, it is quite touching. It has been quite touching for me.
And while opponents of same-sex marriage declared Wednesday morning that, quote, the institution of marriage has been preserved, end quote, and that Maine has spoken and the issue has been decided, others were saying it's time to take the issue to a national level. Gene Parody is the president of the Bangor, Maine-based Bridge Alliance for Connecting a Proud GLBTA Community.
This is not just a Maine issue. This is an issue across the country. I think that, you know, we've seen, you know, the New England state that have accepted gay marriage and made it law, and that this is the tipping point. This nation is at a tipping point when it comes to this issue, and the federal government is going to have to stand up, and it's going to have to start making some hard and fast decisions about how it's going to conduct itself.
With a slim margin of defeat, a coalition of activists and community members who work to protect Maine marriage equality vowed after the election that the fight is not over. Again, Dawn Fortune of Mount Desert Island, Maine.
I think there was this misguided belief amongst our opposition that if they voted these rights away, that somehow gay people would stop, would go away, would stop being gay and having families and working and living in the community and doing all the things that we do. And we're not going to do that. It's as though our opposition wants to go back to a time that never existed, when everybody was straight and white and middle class, and they all had two kids, and their biggest concern about was how green their grass was. We've always been here. We're always going to be here. And progress marches on, whether people like it or not. I spoke with a guy today who said, you know, he woke up and he looked at his 8-year-old who said, "Dad, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. What are people so worked up about?" And he and I were talking about how we had that same conversation with our parents about race relations. you know? 20, 30 years ago, we looked at our parents and said, who cares what color somebody is? Of course they can get married. Of course they can go to work together. Of course they can go to school together. Of course, oh, who cares, you know? But our parents were all freaked out about that stuff. And so now the parents, you know, the people my age and some older and some younger, this generation is the one that's all freaked out about same-sex marriage. But the kids get it. They look at it and they're like, you know, people are people. Who cares? They want to be happy, let them. You know what? If we mount this campaign again tomorrow, I'll be there. Period. This is people's lives. There's nothing more important than that.
With assistance from John Greenman, this is Amy Brown from WERU in East Orland, Maine, reporting for This Way Out.
The outcome was better for same-gender couples in the state of Washington. It took a few days to count all the mail-in votes, but the final tally on Referendum 71 gave gays and lesbians their first ever statewide electoral victory by a vote of 52-48%. This Way Out correspondent Liz Hill has more.
On Tuesday, November 3rd, 2009, citizens of Washington State voted on Referendum 71. The referendum, nicknamed the Everything But Marriage Act, asked state voters to reconfirm the legislation passed by the state of Washington this spring. The expansion of domestic partnership rights was signed into effect in May by Governor Christine Gregoire through Senate Bill 5688. However, the group Washington Values Alliance launched an effort to discredit the Senate decision by enacting the veto referendum process, producing just enough signatures to put the referendum on the ballot for a popular vote. The referendum expands the rights of same-sex couples and seniors in committed relationships to register as domestic partners and receive legal benefits equivalent to those of married couples, only without the title of marriage. Jane Kaczynski, a staff member of the Olympia Food Co-op, was a vocal supporter of the passage of Referendum 71. She helped campaign throughout the Olympia area and brought forth a proposal for the co-op to publicly endorse the bill. Through Facebook, she first learned of the Washington Values Alliance attempts to put the Senate Bill 5688 onto the ballot.
I'd been following on Facebook the No to Referendum 71, which was when we were first trying to keep it from getting the signatures so that it could be put to a vote. Because it had actually, the domestic partnership law had already been passed by the legislature and signed into law by Governor Gregoire, we wanted to keep the law in place and wanted to forego having everybody vote on it. But once it was on the ballot, then we had to switch our message and to ask people to vote yes on something. And so part of the reason that I got specifically involved with this was to clear up a lot of confusion. And for me, this issue seems so simple and so obvious that any committed partnership deserves to have the same legal rights. People can do what they want with their churches, but in terms of civil unions, we ought to recognize and acknowledge the committed long-term partnerships that currently exist and which will continue to exist regardless of whether or not the law recognizes them.
While Washington voted on Referendum 71, KAOS spoke with Professor Stephanie Kuntz of the Evergreen State College and asked how Referendum 71 and similar bills are affecting and changing the current state of family and marriage in these United States.
Well, of course, many people believe that these sorts of changes are a threat to marriage and the family, and that they are the things that have caused the changes in marriage and family, which are quite distressing to some people. Marriage is less prominent than it used to be. Divorce is certainly larger. There are people who have children out of marriage. There are heterosexuals as well as gays and lesbians who cohabit. And, of course, the gender roles within marriage have changed in very startling ways to some people over the last 40 years. So there's a sense that perhaps if we draw a line in the sand against gay and lesbian marriage or domestic partnership, these things will go away. But actually, it works the other way around. It's the changes in marriage that heterosexuals have introduced that have led gays and lesbians to feel free to come out of the closet in their relationships and to demand the same rights. it was heterosexuals who said that marriage no longer had to be about property and power, but should be about love and sexual attraction. This was something that was pretty new in human history. It was also heterosexuals who took the position that procreation wasn't necessary for marriage, the ability to procreate. It was heterosexuals who innovated birth control, the ability to have a childless marriage, and our laws in the United States have never made the validity of a marriage depend upon the ability to procreate. It was heterosexuals who also introduced assisted reproduction so that people who couldn't have children through the so-called natural ways could have it anyway. And then finally, and I think most importantly, it was heterosexuals who stopped seeing marriage, many of them at least, as a power relationship between men and women in which the husband had to play one role and the wife had to play another. And at that point, I think gays and lesbians simply raised their hand and said, hey, now you have redefined marriage in ways that it applies to us. So I think the demand for gay and lesbian marriage, the existence of gay and lesbian relationships, is more an outcome of changes in family and marriage than it is a cause of any further changes.
With the passage of Referendum 71, the increased civil rights for same-sex domestic partnerships could be enacted by December 2009. This has been Liz Hill for KAOS, KAOS Olympia, 89.3 FM.
Analysts attribute the loss in Maine to the fear-mongering TV ads that fill the airwaves across the state, claiming that allowing gays and lesbians to legally marry would force public schools to teach about homosexuality. Virtually every Maine education official said there would be no such requirement, but in elections with such an emotional component, fear historically trumps reason. Canadian journalist Gareth Kirby monitored the marriage equality elections in California last year and in Maine this year. You're losing by being nice, he said of the TV ads produced by equality supporters. They should have exposed the lies and demanded equality instead of groveling. There's too much Martin Luther King in the campaigns. It's time to mix in a healthy dose of Malcolm X as well. Barack Obama's deputy national campaign director, Steve Hildebrand, agreed. He wrote that we are fools to have spent all this money and time and not have defined the opponents. It's not enough to answer their charges. We need to hit them back until voters don't buy their lies anymore. But a chorus of LGBT activists roundly criticized self-identified fierce advocate Obama and his Democratic Party for failing to speak out against the rights-denying ballot measures. National Equality March leader Cleve Jones talked on election night with Rachel Maddow on her MSNBC cable show.
This is a pluralistic society. We have one constitution, we have one Bill of Rights, and we have only one class of citizenship. So it's still early to see what's happened here. I'm encouraged by what apparently has been a real uptick in youth turnout. We see a real shift in opinion based on generation. But I also think it's important for everybody to understand that regardless of the outcome tonight in Maine or in Washington or Kalamazoo, gay people remain second-class citizens in this country and will continue to remain second-class citizens until we get action from the President, from the Congress, and the United States Supreme Court. And I deeply regret that President Obama did not seize this opportunity to speak out against this initiative in Maine and for the initiative in Washington. This is a far cry from the fierce advocacy that he had promised us in his campaign.
Author and Savage Love columnist Dan Savage had an even harsher critique the following night during his appearance on MSNBC's Countdown program.
The Yes on One campaign trafficked in vicious anti-gay stereotypes throughout the entire campaign. Their whole campaign was premised upon the notion that allowing same-sex couples to legally marry meant teaching gay sex to children in schools at some sort of mandatory anal sex assemblies for third graders. It was offensive and it was vicious, and unfortunately it was effective. President Obama is a fierce advocate of gay rights the same way I'm a ladies' man. He isn't, and I'm not. The Democratic National Committee sent out email blasts to Mainers on their email lists in the days leading up to this election that did not mention question one, that did not encourage people to vote no on question one. Barack Obama issued no statement about question one or about the vote in Kalamazoo or about the vote in Washington State. Barack Obama said he was for, instead of full legal marriage equality, he was for federal federal civil unions that granted same-sex couples all the same rights, responsibilities, privileges of marriage. If he was moving on that, a la what gays and lesbians have in the United Kingdom, where they don't have legal marriage, but they have civil partnerships, civil pacts that bring all the same benefits, if at the same time that these initiatives are being run all over the country and our rights were under assault in the way that no other minority group's rights have ever been under assault at the ballot box, Barack Obama wasn't taking a position on question one, but was pushing for legislation at the federal level that would supersede all these arguments and supersede all these state initiatives that would grant at the federal level all the rights, responsibilities, and protections of legal marriage, which is what he said he backed, that would mollify the gay community. But he isn't doing squat.
We are gone.
LGBT advocates might take heart from comments by John Nichols of The Nation magazine about the generational divide on issues of equality. When you see an ambulance going by, he said, it's either a supporter of same-sex marriage being born or an opponent dying. Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Sherry Lund, Taryn James, Rex Watkin with Bill Kelly, Amy Brown, and Liz Hill contributed program material. Art Garfunkel sang Wo Ya Ya, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is funded by donations from our listeners. Thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.org to support our work, listen to our podcasts, read this week's news wrap, and subscribe to CDs of our programs. To receive our weekly program email alerts, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on KXCI Tucson, Arizona, to B.O.B. Terry, New South Wales, W.O.J.B. Hayward, Wisconsin, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.
Have been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Valensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
Listener contributions play an extremely important role in the quality of the music and news you hear on this station. If you've never made a contribution to KPFT, we need to hear from you. With the threat of reduced federal funding for public radio, first-time contributors are more important now than ever. Call 713-526-5738 now to make your tax-deductible contribution or pledge online at kpft.org. We need your pledge. You make a huge difference in this radio station when you pledge to KPFT. Again, that number is 713-526-KPFT. Call and make your tax-deductible contribution today. You can also pledge online at kpft.org. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio. KPFT, Houston. We get letters, emails, and phone calls saying thanks. Thanks for playing a piece of music. Thanks for keeping listeners up to date on events in our area. Thanks for introducing our fans to new talent. Now we're asking you to say thanks in a very tangible way. We're asking you to make a pledge. When you call with your contribution, you'll be providing us with the resources we need to keep bringing you the new talent, to keep informing you on events at clubs and concert halls, to bring you great news, to keep playing that favorite tune you can hear nowhere else. Call now with your pledge. 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT. You can also help on our secure website at kpft.org. This is
the free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.